Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And by iFixit. You can fix it, and iFixit makes it easy with step-by-step repair guides, high-quality replacement parts, and all the tools you need. For $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, go to iFixit.com/TWIT and enter the code HamNation at checkout. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 123 for November 13th, 2013. We recap the Midwest ARRL convention in Lebanon, Missouri. Hello, everybody. This is K9EID, and we're back. Well, all of us are back. Maybe some of you didn't know, but we all were in Lebanon, Missouri this weekend. And I mean, almost all of us. We had such a great time, and we're all back here ready to go again with Ham Nation. So get your old chat room happening so you can talk to us over there. But mainly call all your friends and tell them to fire up the old computer. We have all of the players here tonight. Gordon West from Costa Mesa, WB6NOA. How you doing, Gordo? Did you make it back okay?
I made it back fine. And Lebanon, you did it. You rolled out every single ham in the state, plus five other states around. Thank you, Lebanon, for a great time. Back to you, Bob.
It was a wonderful weekend. It really was. And George, you had a nice flight in, and you got back okay. George Thomas, W5JDX.
I did, Bob. We had a great time in Lebanon, and I had never been to that part of Missouri before. It's really beautiful up there. I enjoyed the visit to the ham shack in the studio, too. That was a lot of fun.
Well, Sarah and I had fun having all you guys, and it was really fun. And we also had Carol Perry with us. That was great. And Dale, you drove. How many hours was it? Five, Dale, K0HYD. How are you?
Five to the airport there in Springfield, and then another hour over to Lebanon. So going back, it was about 6 hours, but we stopped in Pittsburgh on the Kansas-Missouri border there when we got back. So that made it two short drives. But that was a great weekend, a fantastic camp fest. We got to shoot sound and video for about three videos, all about different kinds of digital amateur radio to use in the future. The whole thing was great. We loved the organ concert, especially when you played Misty there on the organ there when we toured your house and your ham shack. That was outstanding, Bob. Go.
Well, thanks, Dale. I love playing, and I love exposing people to the theater organ. It's not something that you just go dial up every day. Well, we've got some nice pictures that we're sending. Judy Reynolds, this is awful. I don't know Judy's call, but she is the chief engineer at W9OEX. And Dave is a good 75-meter friend. They've been friends for years, and she took some great pictures. Let's go through a few of those, Brian, and you'll be able to see. Well, there's Carol Perry. And, of course, we're firing up the old theater organ. And Carol did the youth forum here at the show. And there he is, the Costa Mesa King, man. We had a good time. You enjoyed that okay, Gordo?
It was fabulous. Fabulous.
Thank you. All right. Well, then we all got in the car and headed for Lebanon. And there we are with the live audience. We had about 400 people in the theater for this live audience presentation, which we'll be showing here next week. We will not be live next week. Brian gets to push the DVD button, and you'll see the whole proceedings. And This is an astronaut, Colonel Steve Nagel, and he was a great guest on Ham Nation, and he did several things at the convention with youth as well as telling people about what it is to be in space. It was really cool, and you'll get to hear his interview next week. There's the Blazing Pickle. Now, if you don't know about Gordo and his Blazing Pickle, you will be able to see it firsthand next week, as we did it live last Friday night. And it's pretty fun. He teaches a lot of stuff. And that is our good friend Richard from MFJ. Richard is a great supporter of Ham Nation. And we caught him in the crowd, and Gordo invited him up. So we had a little interview with Richard. You'll get to hear a little bit about that. And there's the Motley Crue. As we ended it all, that was the end of the time. We were just about ready to jump in the car and all head out for our airplanes and cars and homes and whatever. It was a remarkable weekend. And, of course, the whole thing for the four of us was to present a Ham Nation show live. And it was really fun. Gordo, we need to do this again, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there was a worry, not on our half, but worry by the American Radio Relay League that the club was maybe not large enough and maybe hadn't had the experience to pull it off. Whoa! Dave Sumner and the group, they had to look around with about 3,000 hams going, this is a success, especially when the hams could come for free, the exhibitors could come for free, the swap meet could come for free. Wow. Back to you, Bob.
It was free parking, too. George, did you have anything to add to those few pictures?
I don't have any pictures, but it was really a great time. And could they pull it off? Yeah, they knocked it out of the ballpark. Excellent event. I'm looking forward to the next one they have there. And, you know, it was good. They had all the major radio vendors there and a good many dealers, too. And a big crowd. I mean, and they stayed for almost the whole event. You know, usually a ham fest kind of thins out there at the end, but this one had a good crowd all the way throughout. And it was great to do the Ham Nation live in front of a studio audience, our first time ever to really do that. And yeah, it's, you know, it was just a great time. And I think everybody's going to enjoy watching it next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I won't be here, but that's why it's all scheduled. And Dale, I really appreciate all your efforts, and you'll be getting some other pictures and videos within the next few weeks. We'll filter a few of those in. You got some dandy ones from Woody Moore, so I'm looking forward to those because he's a great photographer.
Yeah, we'll get those in for you. I think it was fantastic. And the live show, that was just absolutely great. Nothing like it. That live feedback, that auditorium looking very full as you looked out into the audience and everyone was reacting live. You had all that interaction with the audience. We got to do that again. And yeah. It was just super. And they had a good drawing at the end of the show, too, and gave away some really nice door prizes. So those guys at the Lebanon Amateur Radio Club need to receive many, many kudos for the work they did this past weekend.
Oh, right. Well, one thing I want to make note of, everybody, you know, the amateur radio fraternity has really been boosted up with the Last Man Standing. This is a great program. If you haven't seen it, you got to catch it now. They crank up again here on their fall episodes. But on Thanksgiving, that's November 22nd, they get to air the one where 100 of you guys got in a big pileup, and Mike Baxter, that's the character that Tim Allen plays, is going to be digging them out. So you want to watch it now. That's the 22nd ABC television, and it's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. But here's the big news. Gordon, have you heard about this one? Check it out. They had a class at the studio, And let's see, who were the guys that did it? The VEs were K6YXH, WB6OHW, and AA6RA. They gave tests, and now they've added 8 new technician class hams to the crew of Last Man Standing, and one of them got an upgrade to general. That brings the total to 14 technicians, 1 general and 2 extra class operators. That brings you Last Man Standing. Gordle, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's terrific, and I can't wait to see their credits. I think that show is on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and it's going to be good to see all of the hardworking folks behind the cameras with their amateur radio license, especially for this upcoming show a week from this Friday.
Yeah, that's great. John Amadeo, who is NN6JA, he sent all this to us, and he supports this show so much, and we just have to thank him. We, the entire fraternity of ham radio, for bringing amateur radio to national television. It's the first time that I can remember any of that happening. Well, we're going to move on here, and we're going to go down to Mississippi and see what kind of smoke and what kind of solder can happen. George, take it away.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, I was out this past weekend in Lebanon and didn't have a chance to record anything here before I left, but I got something even better than that. I ran into my friend Joe Eisenberg there. He was Don's friends first, and Don introduced me to him in Dayton, and we've just been big pals ever since, and I'm sure, Bob, you know him, and Gordon know him as well. We always like to get together when we're at a ham fest and talk about what's been going on and what each of us has been working on. So Joe had something different going on this time. I did not realize he was doing this particular project. So let's take a look at that. So I come all the way to Lebanon, Missouri for a ham fest, and who do I run into? Joe Eisenberg. Hi, Joe.
Well, hi, George. It's great to see you as always. Usually I just see you at Dayton and Huntsville, but now I get to see you right here in Missouri.
What have you been up to lately? I hear you've been working on another project here that we didn't know anything about.
I finished last spring revising the chapter in the ARL handbook. And so the new 100th year of the ARL Centennial Edition ARL handbook has a chapter that I updated and edited on construction techniques. So people can see some of my work in there as well. It's similar to what I've been writing in the magazine, but I've gone more into depth in different things, how to sort your parts and things like that. A lot of information that was not in the ARL handbook before. And so we got rid of some old things that are kind of outdated. We updated some of the things we were keeping, and then we added a bunch of new material.
So, you know, I skip every few years between buying handbooks, so it sounds like I'd need to buy the 2014 edition.
Yes, definitely. I can put in a plug for that because I think the ARL handbook has always been a wonderful deal because it's full of information, absolutely chock full of information, ranging from tube diagrams all the way up to, and the resistor color code all the way up to building amplifiers. And updating the construction techniques chapter was brought up to me a little over a year ago, and I thought, well, yeah, I can do this. And I took it as kind of a challenge, and it came out pretty good, and it sounds like I'll be helping out with the chapter. Not as heavy a revision in the next year or two, but there will still be some definite updates and changes that will be put in there. And so it looks like I'll have my hand in that.
Yeah, we saw Ward Silver a moment ago. He's wandering around here somewhere, but he's a busy guy. We couldn't pull him away for this. But Ward, he heads up the editing of that,
yes,
doesn't he?
Yeah, Ward is the chief editor of the ARL handbook. And so he is my editor that I answered to on this. And he was the one who asked me to be a part of the ARL handbook. And to be honest, I find it to be a great honor. When you look at the list of the other authors in that book, I don't really put myself in the category of some of these people. And so it was quite an honor for him to ask me to handle a chapter.
Well, you're becoming pretty well known as a kit builder and doing these types of things. So I think it was a good choice for the ARRL to make. You know, this that's one of those kind of books that there's a new one every year, but you should not throw out the old ones because there's stuff back in there. My oldest one, I think, is a 74. And there's always some things in there that are a little bit different that one day you may need to know something about.
Exactly. I have one from 1973, and it has things like how to make a little crystal oscillator. You know, a simple Colpitts oscillator, which isn't always shown in the newer texts. And it's really helped me make up some oscillator circuits and things like that. And I based that all on a 1973 handbook. So old handbooks are good to hang on to.
Definitely. So what have you been building?
Well, the latest project mostly is the Survivor 75-meter single sideband transceiver kit. And I had a few things that I had to change. You know, I had to adjust some turns on a coil, but so far so good. And it's pretty amazing what it hears and how nice it sounds when it transmits.
Well, I know you and I had talked about that kit, I guess, when we were in Dayton, or was it Huntsville, and we were kind of speculating on it, so it is a good radio, huh?
Yes, and it's a lot of fun, and it seems to be relatively selective and pretty sensitive, pretty easy to tune up. Once you get it on frequency and in the band and so forth, if you use the digital dial kit, it really, really helps. So definitely get one with the digital dial kit, and yes, the digital dial is a surface mount kit, and if you don't want that, you can pay a little extra and you can get one. If you contact Hendrix Kits, you can get one that is pre-assembled and pre-calibrated.
What issue of CQ Magazine will this be in, or is it going to have to be spread out since it's such an involved project?
It's actually been spread out. The November edition, which is out now, we covered the two-tone generator and the microphone kit. And in December, we went into the basic construction of this kit. And then in January, we finished it up, and we also did a power pole distribution box kit, which is made by the Radio Farm in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. The Radio Farm is a group of hams that are primarily engineers or retired engineers from Rockwell Collins. And they developed this kit as kind of a fundraiser for the Radio Farm. And it's a simple power pole and screw terminal fuse box type power distribution kit so that you can hook up multiple devices with either power poles or wire terminals to your 12-volt power supply. And it has fuses that when you blow a fuse, it lights up an LED so you know which fuse you blew.
That's a neat idea. I know you used to see fuse holders like that had the neon bulbs in it for 110-volt stuff, but I haven't seen what you're talking about here. Well, let's talk shop for a moment. We were discussing desoldering earlier, and this lead-free solder that's the bane of the electronic humanity now. At least I don't like it. I don't know what your opinion is of it, but that stuff has such a high melting point. How do you repair something that was made with this?
Well, I found it to be very difficult. At work, we were presented with the problem of having circuit boards in laptops. And a lot of people have a laptop that they're near and dear to, and you can't get a new motherboard, but they found out that their power jack is broken. So one of our technicians takes the laptop apart and hands me the circuit board. So I'll come to work, and I will find this circuit board on my desk. And they'll have already ordered a new jack for me, and so I couldn't seem to get that no-lead solder off very easily without turning the heat up way high and having trouble using desoldering wick or anything else without adding extra flux and things like that. Well, one of the tricks I discovered is, it sounds almost counterintuitive, but to desolder unleaded solder, you add more solder. And what I do is I take leaded solder and then I add it to all the connection points of that same connector, and then what I do is then I can desolder. And the reason is that once you've added the leaded solder to the no lead solder, it reduces the melting point quite low.
Well, that's a good trick there, and because you're right, that stuff is hard to get off, especially if you've got a through hole component, and you know they don't drill the hole as big as they used to. The leads are pretty tight in there, and you get some of that lead-free solder in there, that's can be real difficult to remove.
It's very difficult. So the idea is, especially on the smaller terminals on these connectors, I'll put enough of the leaded solder in that it kind of leaks through, and that, then it looks even worse and harder to get off. But actually, it becomes much easier because you've lowered the melting point, and it seems to work a lot better.
Well, Joe, it's good to see you again and talk a little bit today. When's the next trip? When are we going to see you again, you think?
No, I don't have any other big ones on the agenda. So probably not until the spring. We'll be at OzarkCon, which is a neat little QRP convention every year in April in Branson, Missouri. It's a great one to bring the family because there's lots to do in Branson. It's a great town for tourism and lots of fun things to do in Branson. And, of course, we have Dayton in May, and in June I'll be going to Friedrichshafen in Germany.
Is this your first trip to Germany?
Yes. In fact, it's my first overseas trip since 1971, so I had to get a passport again. It's going to be quite an adventure. I'll be in the DERA booth, so anybody going to Friedrichshafen, I'll be in the Dayton Amateur Radio Association booth promoting Hamvention. And I might get a chance to stop by their kit-building booth, which is only a few feet away, and try my hand there. And by the way, in Europe, the only solder you can buy is the no-lead solder. So the soldering irons you get there are already higher temperature. They're already made for that. So that'll be kind of an interesting adventure, working with that and teaching people how to solder, but using the no-lead myself. It'll be a learning experience for me also.
I guarantee you. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you in Dayton, and I want to hear about your trip into Europe and find out what a Hamfest is like there after you visited.
You bet. I'm told that it's the best and biggest in Europe, and should be a lot of fun.
All right, 73, Joe.
73 is George, and it's always good to work with you.
Yeah, it was really great to visit with Joe again. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, we're kind of a kindred spirit there when it comes to building things and tearing up things as well. You know, last week I asked a question, what is the difference between a megger and the megohm scale of a multimeter? And I had a winner in the contest, and that is Andrew Cornwall, KF7CCC. And he said the difference between a megger and a megohm meter is that a megger uses a high voltage to measure the resistance. This lets it test when resistance might break down under high voltage, which a megohm meter wouldn't show. And that is correct, Andrew. And congratulations. You're going to win this nice LDG Z100 Plus auto tuner, courtesy of Cheap Ham. It's very simple to hook up. I've used a similar model of this before. It really, it would work great for mobile or a base, either one. And for next week, I've got another question here, and that is, what year was the first ARRL handbook published? If you think you know the answer to that, send it to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win some Heil wire. I've got some right here. It's really great cable, and I'm not just saying that because Bob's listening. It really is good. This stuff is very flexible with a rubber jacket on it. And it's got one pair of unshielded conductors here to use for your push-to-talk or whatever you like. And then it's got a shielded pair here that you can use for balanced audio or just use one lead there and you can do unbalanced. But the shield on this is very heavy-duty and it's tinned as well. So great microphone cable if you need some. The Heil wire, send me your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com and you might just win a hank of this. So now let's go on down a little bit further south and check in with Don Wilbanks. Don, how did you like the interview with Joe?
Oh, I love Joe Eisenberg. Joe, I've known Joe forever. Met Joe, I don't know how many years ago. One of the first times I went to Dayton, met him through Bill Pasternak with Newsline. And Joe and I have become great friends. Joe and I, in fact, for years and years and years at the Huntsville Hamfest, we shared a hotel room. And just for, I guess, the last 3 or 4 years, Don and Tyler have been coming with me. And so Joe has been fending for himself as far as hotel rooms. But you want to have a great weekend, split a hotel room with Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB, and I guarantee you, you'll learn some things. That man is just amazing. I'll tell you something else that's amazing. That is this little store called DX Engineering. They help you shrink the globe and make new contacts. How do they do that? Well, it's because they carry everything there is to know, is to carry for ham radio. Towers, transceivers, antennas, shirts, apparel. You can shop for everything your shack needs in one place. And here's the cool thing. If you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern and it's in stock, it will ship the same day. That means you'll get your order faster than if you bought it absolutely anywhere else. Now, while watching last week's show, a viewer wanted to buy a product that he saw, okay? He gets his order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. The DX Engineering team puts it on the truck that night. The customer received his order the following afternoon. DX Engineering, the only amateur radio company that can deliver that quickly. So you want to go digital? Well, DX will carry the Tigertronics Signal Link. It's a computer-to-radio sound card interface with software that unlocks the digital modes. It's easy to install. It's even easier to use. I've got one. I love the thing. A ton of support is available. New users are always being developed. They also carry all the accessories you need to get started. And right now, every Tigertronic Signal Link hookup cable, which are all radio specific, is just $14.95. And your station is only as powerful as the cable, of course, that ties it together. DX Engineering has the best coax assemblies on the market. All kinds of lengths, all kind of connector options available, pre-assembled and ready to rock. They're a high-pot tested, weather-tight, assembled by DX Engineering's master techs in the United States. Superior cable optimizes your radio and antenna connection to ensure optimum performance. It's all about the antenna, and it's all about that wire that connects your radio to your antenna. Without that, you know, why even have a radio? Also, you got to look sharp. Got to look sharp with those ham fists, hats, T-shirts, coffee mugs, belt buckles. It's all there from DX Engineering. And a lot more for the ham radio enthusiast in your life. Christmas coming up. Start making your list. Avoid unwrapping a pair of socks this season. And, of course, they have gift cards as well. Now, if you want to grab any of the gear, you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. If it's in stock, DX Engineering will put it on the truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry. DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe, both by radio and by getting your stuff to you fast. Request a catalog online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. DXEngineering.com/HamNation. And DX Engineering, we love you, and we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Time to head back now and check out and see what's going on with Gordon and the Short Shots. Gordon, take it away.
Well, thank you. And yep, DX Engineering is a keeper. Ward Silver at the Lebanon Ham Radio Convention. He came up right after my instructor's talk. What a great guy. What a friend to ham radio. Well, ham radio friends, I had the pleasure of visiting 20,000 square miles of urban areas known as the San Bernardino County Forest. I mean, it is huge. Ham radio operators are there, 230 of them as volunteers, 90 as part of the Mountain Division, and 60 serving Central Mountain Section. And here's a quick look at all that ham radio operator volunteers do for San Bernardino OES. And there's our little CW code. This is Tracy and Jody's place. You can see the fall colors, and you can see how close the vegetation is in case of fire. And they had a fire burn right up to almost where Jody is operating her LA craft. Notice that loop antenna as well. So this area is prone to fires, and they have volunteers that are constantly on duty. Ham radio volunteers. And when it's not summertime, it's wintertime. And those of you on the East Coast realize what it's like to be stranded in a snow. Well, let me tell you, there's very little cell phone coverage in many of these areas. And this is where the hams really shine with their auxiliary communications. And here's Aaron, K6AMS, and Susan, KI6LWW. Look at that radio setup that is in place for a ECS bicycle route. Wow. Now, next shot shows them gathered up. Notice that they're all in uniform. They don't have Levi's. They all have professional pants. They're getting ready for the 4th of July. And let me tell you, when the fireworks start around all those trees, this group of ham radio operators is always on alert. In fact, if you look at their uniforms, it's tough to tell who's with the fire department paid staff and who the volunteers are. And there are some of the volunteers all perked up, ready to get their daily assignment. And good news, the County Fire Battalion Chief is also a ham. That's Al, KJ6MHT. And he's looking good, and he's happy because he has all of these volunteers ready to serve. And some of the things that the volunteers do to stay sharp is to cover the Tour de California bicycle race that goes from 1,000 feet up to about 7,000 or 8,000 feet. Here's a briefing and field assignments for Shoshue the Bear. And notice the distinctive uniforms that the San Bernardino team has. And this is fun communications because it really lets you test your gear in the cold, and you realize that some batteries don't do as well in the cold as they do out in the open. About once a month, all of the group comes together. This is the Central Mountain Group, and we had 50 members for a get-together that I was pleased to be able to present. And most interesting was their view of the radio frequency spectrum. This is one of those spectrum charts that I cut up and make it a long one. That's Tracy off to my right. And here I am describing, I have no idea what I'm describing. But anytime you present to a group, always make sure and wear a jacket so you're dressed up a little bit to make make them know that you mean business. And what a great group we had that morning up at 5,000 feet. Here's Bruce, KE6DQI. He receives a mug from Maryland, KE6RIN, who's the Mountain Division Battalion Chief for ECS, and Tracy, WA6ERA. And he gets this for many years helping with the Baker to Vegas communications for the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. And again, look at those distinctive uniforms. And there was over about a half hour where those coming up had all sorts of questions. And of course, with any group, it's always fun to give out some books. And here's a young lady, KJ6ZTJ. She just passed her exam and will soon probably become one of the volunteers if she's not already. So again, we encourage those of you that are part of an emergency group to wear your uniforms, be well-dressed, and take pride in all that we can do as ham radio volunteers serving our served agency. And finally, the man of the hour, Tracy, WA6ERA, the Mountain Division Chief for ECS. And if you have any questions about the Emergency Communications Service up there in San Bernardino Mountains, contact him via his ARRL email address, WA6ERA@ARRL.net. Look at that chair, folks, huh? Is that deluxe? He's ready to sit back and roll the sink. So we'd like to say congratulations to those up on the hill, being one of the largest counties throughout the United States. Actually, you are the largest county in the United States. Congratulations for using ham radio operators, and I was proud to be up there and see all of the great work that you folks were doing. So let's see, we're going to turn it back over to Bob and see what's happening now down on the Flatlands.
Flatland. After you rode in those hills the other day, you can't call that flat, can you? The hills out here are like a ride at Disneyland, right?
That's right.
Well, first of all, and Gordo, I think you're going to be right with me on this. We missed it by a couple of days, but we have to honor our veterans. And, you know, they did so much for us in their times at war. I ran across a very sweet picture that my daughter sent me, and I want to show it to you. It's my father, and this would have been 1944, 45. Wow. I still have that Navy pea jacket. And for a lot of people that knew me when I was growing up, I do look like my dad, no question. But I was very proud of Dad. And another thing that we need to talk about, yeah, it does look like me. Yeah. Thanks, Brian. One of the things that we need to talk about is the National Museum. It's a National Veterans Museum and an art museum in Chicago. Now, I understand that this has been taken down, but it's being replaced in a different place. Those, what you see hanging up there, are dog tags. Oh, wow. 58,000 of them, of servicemen and women who died in the Vietnam War. And somebody took the time to redo all these and hang them, and they're like a wind chime. And I understand it's very serene when you walk in there, because you know that the sound, the beautiful sound of all those dog tags are from 58,000 plus people that have died. And I just think that was a remarkable thing for someone to put together. So I'm looking forward to hearing where they're going to move it to a little better location. But again, it's to honor the people that served for us. And ham radio was a part of that too. I'm really proud of some of the things that happened. You know, in during that time, Barry Goldwater was a senator, and we miss Barry Goldwater. Forget about what side of the aisle. He could care less. He was an American, and he built a special room on the back of his house in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was all full of Collins gear that he bought, and 24/7 it was manned by ham radio operators to pass telephone calls to the loved ones back home from their loved ones in Vietnam and wherever in the world that were in the service. That was Barry Goldwater, A7UGA. Boy, do we miss people like him. We miss Americans. So I just wanted to let you know a little bit about my thoughts of the veterans. It was just something that I thought we should bring up. I had a real disaster here a few days before everybody was going to show up. One of my antennas died.
Oh, no.
And I started tracing things down. I mean, what do you do, Gordo? I mean, it doesn't work. Where do you start? You start at the coax end here. At least that's where I started. Guess what I found? There's about 80 connectors that are soldered, but that I did. But one of them, that one, was not soldered by me. There were other people here to help me, thank gosh. And I thought, what is wrong? I ran some wire out to do a continuity check, and look what I found when I unscrewed it. I unsoldered the center point, and if you look real close at the shield, it was soldered, but in twisting around at the antenna, it broke loose. Yeah, you can see where it was soldered in a connector, and it got some solder, but that's what happens. And there was no reason. You can see how it was screwed onto the jacket. Everything was fine, but in twisting around, it twisted off. Okay, so for all you guys that tell me that I'm nuts for doing it this way, here's proof. Yes, it's not pretty, but yes, it really works. I screw the, you got to put the barrel on, but then you screw that up with, I usually pair of pump pliers and screw it onto the jacket, but then you fold that, the shield back and solder it. Normally, I would put a piece of heat shrink on it, but I did this quickly because I didn't have a lot of time and I didn't have the right heat shrink here. So for now I taped it, but that's okay, and I put it back in and away we go. But there again is the proof about how to solder. And I bet the chat room's going nuts. Everybody, Heil, you're crazy. No, there's proof. That is the way to do a real connector when it's out in the weather and it's going to be moving around a lot. So there it is, baby. No question about it. These little guys can cause you some trouble. And I'm very fortunate. All of the rest of them were soldered like that, and I have no problem with all 80 of them. But one of them failed, and I was so lucky to be able to find it quickly. But I did that with a long piece of wire and my good old Simpson 260 doing a continuity check. I did it at that first piece of coax. And guess what? Right away, the shield was not making connections. So I took it apart And that's what I found. I just thought I would point that out to you. There are some of the big-time contest stations. That's the way they solder them. I've been doing it all my life, and I was kind of embarrassed because everybody, oh, that's not the way to do it. Well, you read all the handbooks, and they show you all nonsense. And then I find out, whoa, most of these big-time contest stations do them this way and solder them on the outside so you know they make good connection. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it because I got proof. So I wanted to share that with you. Well, we're going to go back to Don and see what's going on in the news of Newsline. Don, how are you doing? And it's nice to see you tonight.
Hey, it's nice to be here. I wish I could have been up in Lebanon with you guys, but you know, somebody's got to stay here and keep the home fires burning. You know, we don't have anything on this as far as amateur radio Newsline yet because it happened on Friday is when the typhoon hit the Philippines. But just I want you to look at some pictures here. Just horrific damage in Tacloban City, and there you see the dead that are still laying around, and this gave me some serious Katrina flashbacks, and we're going to have a whole lot more details on next week's Amateur Radio Newsline, which will come out on Friday of this week, and we'll have some more video and things for you with hopefully if we have a Newsline report next week here on the special show, but just wanted to show you some stills of that. We're thinking, especially those of us in around the New Orleans area, our hearts go out to those in the Philippines, and we know what that's all about. Of course, the Philippines storm was much larger than what hit here in New Orleans, but we're thinking about you. Let's go ahead and get into the news of the week with the Amateur Radio Newsline video, Brian, if you'll roll that. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1891, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 13th, 2013. As this week's Newsline report was going to air, the Philippines was hit by an extremely strong typhoon. Emergency communications efforts are ongoing, and we'll have full details in next week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. In other news, the weekend of November 1st to the 3rd was very special for AMSAT North America. Not only was it the organization's 31st Space Symposium and annual meeting, but also a very special celebration of a giant step by ham radio as it crossed into the final frontier. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF.
The weekend gathering in Houston, Texas, marked AMSAT's celebration of the 30th anniversary of amateur radio involvement in human spaceflight. It also told the story of its evolution into a successful program on board the International Space Station, known to all of us as ARIS. But to tell the story, we must step back 3 decades. It was in November of 1982 when then-astronaut Owen Garriott, W5LFL, became the first ham radio operator to use amateur radio to communicate from a spacecraft in Earth orbit. It was also the first time that anyone on Mother Earth who held a ham radio license got to speak to an astronaut on orbit. And, as such, it was an event that changed the face of ham radio forever. If you weren't there, this is what that first QSO from space sounded like.
This is W5LFL in Columbia. W5LFL in Columbia, orbiting the Earth at an altitude of 135 nautical miles. Passing over the U.S. West Coast and calling CQ.
W5LFL on SPS-9, WA1JXN, WA1 Japan, X-ray Norway, WA1JXN, Frenchtown, Montana, standing by.
Hello, W1JXN, WA1 Juliet, X-ray November. This is W5LFL. You are first contact from orbit. WA1 Juliet, X-ray November. How do you read, over?
There's more to the story than time here allows. Please go to www.arnewsline.org to listen to the full report on this important amateur radio milestone. With the imminent departure of television transmissions from New Zealand TV Channel 1, hams throughout that nation will have access to the lower megahertz of 6 meters, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
The last Channel 1 television transmitter in New Zealand is due to close down at the end of November. And now telecommunications regulator Radio Spectrum Management has announced that as of December 6th that hams throughout the nation will have access from 50 to 51 megahertz without needing to apply for a permit. The actual allocation, which is called a management right, under which the Channel 1 television transmitters operated, does not expire until August 2015. Therefore, 50 to 51 megahertz cannot appear on the amateur general user radio license until after this date. To get around this, Radio Spectrum Management is putting in place a footnote called License Number 4122. It simply says that those who hold a New Zealand General Amateur Operator Certificate of Competency and a call sign issued pursuant to Radio Communications Regulations of 2001 may operate an amateur radio station under this new grant. The power limit will be 1 kilowatt to bring it into line with the power on the nation's General User Radio License for Amateur Operators. When the actual management right expires on August 30th of 2015, 50 to 51 megahertz will be added to the New Zealand General Users Radio License for amateur operators.
This long sought after change comes just in time for the annual New Zealand VHF, UHF, and Super High Frequency Field Day Contest, slated for December 7th and 8th local time. And finally this week, Art Bell, W6OBB, who only recently returned to broadcasting, has departed from Sirius XM Satellite Radio after only about a month and a half on the air. According to a posting on his website credited to SiriusBuzz.com, his reasons for leaving boil down to three main items. First, a claim that the Sirius XM web player is notoriously unreliable, causing a loss of subscribers and a degraded listening experience for those who remain listening online. Second, it's a caller-driven show, and the caller pool is just too small. And lastly, international listeners have no legitimate way to hear the show. According to SiriusBuzz.com, Bell will continue his show on the web. For more details, visit ArtBell.com. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Yeah, Art Bell, back off the radio again. He's on again, off again, on again, off again, on again, off again. Let me tell you something that's on all the time, and that is a website. It's called iFixit.com. iFixit is an amazing resource. They're probably best known for their teardowns of devices like iPhones, iPads, Androids, but they're also an online community. They have over 10,000 repair guides. It's not just tech. It's everything from your smartphone, your computer, your tablet, game consoles, even to home appliances, bicycles. If you can take it apart, it's probably on there. It's like having a free online repair manual for everything. I've used iFixit for a lot of things. If you shattered your smartphone screen, you need to fix your laptop, fix your coffee maker, iFixit has you covered. Even mundane things like tightening the screws on your eyeglasses. I want to show you something here. It's the ProTech Toolkit, okay? It comes in this great bag here, okay? But here's the cool part. You have all these spudgers and things in here to pry the screen and everything off of your phone and whatnot. But here's the heart of the thing. It is this 70-piece, or a 54-piece, actually. The whole kit, I think, is close to 70 pieces. But this 54-bit driver kit. And just let me show you this real quick. This is just amazing, just the number of bits that's in this thing. And each one of these bits is in a carrier. And so you'll never get confused as to what bit goes where, because everything is labeled. Look at that. Just amazing. Brian, go to the website and show them some of the things about this. Philips bits, small and large electronics, Pentalobe bits for iPhones and Mac laptops, Torx and Torx security bits. Those are used on computers, game consoles, controllers. Tri-wing bit. Those are really heavily used on video game consoles. And if you've got some McDonald's toys, they use a triangle bit. You want to get inside one of those, you can do it. There's a swivel top precision driver, a flex extension for hard-to-reach screws, like in stereo equipment, PC towers and stuff. It's all ESD safe, precision tweezers in here, too, for delicate manipulation, watches, clocks. Let me show you the tweezers here. Come back to me real quick, Brian. Let me show you the tweezers here. I use these for kind of, it's kind of like having a cell phone camera. It's not the best camera you own, but sometimes it's the best tool for the job because you happen to have it. I was putting together something that had snap rings, and I couldn't get the snap ring on because I didn't have snap ring pliers. I used these things here. Now, these are obviously not for use for snap rings, but I was able to pop those in the holes of the snap ring and pry it apart to get the snap ring onto the axle of this thing that I was using, so, or trying to put together. So you can fix anything with this. Nylon spudgers, metal spoons, the plastic opening tools for prying and scraping, like your tablet repair.
Lightweight, compact, durable, tool roll. Make it on-the-go choice for repair professionals, amateurs alike. You can throw it in your book bag. $64.95, backed by a one-year warranty. Hobbyists, home DIYers, you can use it, like I said, doorknobs, eyeglasses, cabinet doors, sink fixtures. Not just for tech. Also, it's a great addition for artist or hobbyist toolkits. If you're going to build kits like Joe Eisenberg does. And there are thousands of free iFixit guides to help you put all your tools to use. Holidays just around the corner. This would make an absolute perfect gift for any geek, hobbyist, do-it-yourselfer. I absolutely love mine. And with iFixit, you can fix it yourself. Go to iFixit.com/twit. You'll find the free step-by-step guides. Also, they sell every part and tool you're going to need. And if you enter the code HAMNATION at checkout, you'll save $10 off any purchase of $50 or more. And that includes the toolkit here. iFixit.com/twit. Enter the code HAMNATION at checkout. And iFixit, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Let's head back over towards Kansas and see what's going on with Dale. Dale?
Hey, Don. Very good. Did you stay up late last night and watch the game?
No, I did not. No. Which game was that?
Okay, yeah, they had number 1, 2, and 4, and 5 playing last night on ESPN. And how about the Jayhawks? Great game last night. I stayed up way too late, but
no. After the Saints annihilated the Cowboys, that was my football. That was my football allotment for the week. So I'm done with that.
Okay, Don. Well, we saw George and Joe talking about Joe's chapter in the new 100th anniversary handbook. So we thought we'd show you. We just got ours in, the hard copy edition, a week or so ago. I don't know whether you can still order these personalized versions or not, but if so, they make a great keepsake for you. Gold embossed letters, really nice. And we've received two very nice videos for this evening. The first comes from Paul. He's Golf Mike Zero, Golf Mike Kilo. Recently, his local contest group, Golf Mike Zero Bravo, was on a mission to set a new Scottish record in the CQ Worldwide Contest. They needed to score more than 18,800,000 points to beat that record. Our video shows how they beat that record. Let's watch.
2013 CQ Worldwide DX Contest. Day one and the four towers are sighted. The gear starts to build up in the ops room. The 10-meter tower can be seen in the left, the 20-meter tower in the center, and the 40-meter tower to the right. The five-element 20-meter beam starts to take shape. And now fully constructed, and now at 60 feet, ready for action. Five-element 15-meter beam is nearing completion. End of day one, and the 10 and 20-meter beams in the fading light. Start of day two, and the 160-meter ground plane antenna is run over the center large tree. And the two-element 40-meter beam is at 60 foot, ready for action. The 80-meter ground plane is to the right of the photograph, and the 160-meter station has WinTest contest software, GM0 EGI on the 80-meter station, and Phil GM0 LIR awaiting a call on the 40-meter station. The 20-meter station with M0 BUL Craig working the pileup. And Paul, GM0, Bravo, Kilo, Charlie, on the 15-meter station. 10-meter station working the huge pileup is Gordon, MM0, GPZ. And a new zone on 40 meters for Matt, Mike 3, X-ray, Tango, Lima. The cables have got to go somewhere, but who's managing them? Well, with 1 hour to go, we need another 1,000,000 points to get close to the highest score ever by a GM station in the CQ Worldwide Contest. The score so far? 17,701,581 points.
Oh!
Well, it was very, very close, but we got there in the end. 18 million. 803,312 points.
Wow.
Now to go through it, remove the dupes, and see how we got on.
That's impressive.
Results were 10,917 QSOs, 184 zones, and 652 DXCCs. Thanks to everybody who participated, all 11 operators and the support staff. This is Golf Mike Zero Bravo, 7-3s, and we'll see you all again next year in the CQ Worldwide Contest.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing? Well, thank you, Paul, and good luck in next year's contest. Are you going for 20 million points in 2014? Okay. Hey, Brian, if you'll call up www.orcadxcc.org, we'll take a look at this week's club website of the week. The Orca DXCC group site was nominated by Bob Holowenko. Bob feels it's one of the best, well-organized, and informative ham club websites on the Internet. On this site, you'll find many tools for DX operators, including links to current DX operations, information about current and upcoming contests, and links to other DX websites. The club station is VE7WNK. And remember, links to all featured club websites of the week may be found at hamnationvideos.info. Well, to wrap up the video segment, we have a special treat for you from Randy, K7AGE. He called a few weeks ago and gave us a chance to premiere a new video. It's all just for fun. The video speaks for itself. Just don't try this at home.
Hi, Randy, K7AGE. I was dumpster diving at work the other day and gathered up a bunch of circuit boards with some parts. Some of these have some nice audio connectors. Others of these have some nice SMA and BNC connectors. Now, the trick is to get these parts off quickly without having to hand desolder them all. And back in 2006, episode 11 of Amateur Logic, Jimmy, N5SPE, showed us how to do it.
Welcome to Let's See What Crazy Jim Can Come Up With Next. It's taking this propane torch that you see, firing it up, putting it to the back of this printed circuit board that has a lot of capacitors, resistors, inductors, and heating up the back really good, and then banging it into this box. Maybe if we add a little more flame. I don't mind telling you, I'm a little bit nervous when it comes to the thunking against the box part. I'm thinking maybe I should be wearing some kind of protective eye shielding. Hit things from the board. I didn't hit it very hard. Let's see. Oh, yeah. See, this resistor down here is just shaking. Okay. The temperature's about right for part recovery. Voltage regulators, power resistors, transistors. Okay, he's really trying to get me. Came down right in the chair there. Try not to hit your propane torch. Hindsight is 2020. It truly is, isn't it? After all that, I forgot to say the most important part up front. Boys and girls, don't try this at home.
Okay, I have a little bit more safety protection than Jim did, so I got my welding gloves. Try a little extra heat to get going here.
Boys and girls, don't try this at home.
Ooh, here we go. Maybe that was a little too much heat. There we go. There's another board with some of those types of parts on it. Let's see if I can get this XLR off here first. Oh, there it goes. There's an RCA. Yep, there it goes. Anything else on here? Probably not. Let's see if we can get these BNCs off. They're soldered on both sides here. Poof.
Boys and girls, don't try this at home.
Oh, there it goes. Ah. Here's a bunch of little SMAs. Just flicking it off with a torch. Hold that there. All right, that's better than flinging the stuff. Other good stuff we have here. Oh, here's some RCA connectors and a little DIN connector. I can get them off here without melting the connectors.
Boys and girls, don't try this at home.
Well, that was iffy. It'd be interesting to try it, take some off of the soldering iron, but I think that's all I'm going to play with for now. So remember, do not do this at home. 73K7AGE.
Don't try this at home.
Okay, Randy, thank you very much. Thanks for the laughs. We all need a good chuckle every once in a while, and we have some good amateur sense of humor there. In closing this evening, we want to say congratulations to the crew at ABC's Last Man Standing. John Amadeo reported that they added 8 new technician class hams and 1 new general. He sent us some pictures, and we'll be compiling them for you. With the new call signs, place them in the next Show Me Your Shack, which airs around the 4th of December. Well, don't forget, next Friday, you'll see Mike Baxter, KA0XXT, a.k.a. Tim Allen, operate his rig for the first time on Last Man Standing. And if you submitted an audio clip, you just may hear yourself. And don't forget to vote for the Ham Choice Video Award in October at hamnationvideos.info. This is the 2014 CQ Amateur Radio Calendar that the winning video producer will receive if you give him the most votes. And next week, we've got a Veterans Day special. It's a special event station aboard a submarine from Dave Jaeger. He's W9Q, and we've got another one about operating from the great outdoors, a video from Colin, M1BUU. Well, that's 30, and it's almost time for Cheryl, K9BIK, in our weekly visit to the Ham Nation chat room. But first, this word from ICOM.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. You can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a buy direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100. More people are getting on the air with its incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. This Buy Direct promotion is good now until the end of 2013. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and send it in by mail, fax, or email today. Find out what all the D-Star fun is about. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's Buy Direct program. And tune in to win and register after each episode of Ham Nation at ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation, and you could win some great swag from ICOM. They also will automatically enter you in the monthly radio contest giveaway. And for November, the grand prize is going to be that new ICOM IC51A, the 5-watt VHF UHF dual watch handheld with GPS, D-Star, and the new near repeater list up function. It's a great rig. Go enter today at ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. And one other ICOM prize that will be given away Friday on Amateur Logic is this IC7100 over here, the new VHF, UHF, HF, and 6-meter, and D-Star. And it does D-Star on all those modes and bands. It's touchscreen. Boy, what a nice rig. Perfect mobile. And you could win it, well, if you've already registered. If you haven't, it's too late. But at least tune in Friday on AmateurLogic.tv and see who's going to win that. And by the way, you saw Randy's video a moment ago and Jim up there at the front. Well, that's the kind of stuff we do over at Amateur Logic. And, it's always a lot of fun, and you never know what's going to happen. We want to thank ICOM for sponsoring these contests and allowing you to enter and win. So after Ham Nation tonight, go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and throw your name in the hat. And now let's check in with Cheryl and see what's been going on in the chat room.
Hi, greetings everyone in the chat room and podcasters. You know, it's really great to be here tonight, and I just got to tell everybody that you've been very active in the chat room tonight, and it's just really a great situation here. And wait until we get into the lineup here that I've got scheduled here. So, basically, there's a nice announcement that JKE6SLS brought up. I don't think this has been announced, so I thought I better do this for everybody. He says, has anyone mentioned the QRZ.com or QRZ.com survey and prize pool? He says it's on the site right now. He says he suggests to stop by and fill out the survey and win. And win. So thank you very much for that, Jay. We appreciate that, sharing it with all the hams out there. That's what the program's all about here. So let's move on to the first question here. I've got a question that was from KM1Z, Fran. And believe it or not, the answer came from another chat roomer, but it was not related, but they did go together. So here it is. Fran says, how about answering this question? What's the thing with ham radio? And K9MIT Chip, somewhere down the line, it wasn't all together, but I thought it was amazing, but it was the answer. He says, the idea behind ham radio is learning electronics and learning how to communicate without reliance on cell phones or anything else except radio waves and maintaining friendship with others that feel the same. I thought that was very well written, and that's the Q&A together. And we'll move on to Gordo. Hi, Gordo. We got a question here. From Don in Chattanooga, how do ham industry members travel with demo products and get them through airport TSH checkpoints? Gordo?
Okay. Well, the pickle fryer would never make it as going through TSA. So what industry members do is they usually pack their materials and send them ahead UPS, and then they bring light stuff like handhelds and batteries and computers. They can bring that aboard the aircraft. Most important, though, we leave our bag, our check bag, behind, because if you check a bag and they do some changes on your flight, you've had it. You're stuck with your bag, and you're going to be arriving the next day. But if you don't have a check bag, but just a roller and a briefcase, you'll find that you can immediately jump on another flight and without a check bag, get to where you're going in a hurry. So never check a bag, Send your stuff ahead of time, and don't be worried. TSA is always amused to see handhelds and things like that passing through the checkpoint. Back to you, Cheryl.
Thank you. Great, Gordo. Good job. I've got a question for you, too, George. W5JDX, we've got a question here from W5CCO from Rick. He says, which webcam are you using? And I'd like to also put in there, can you tell us about your great setup? Because you're always looking directly into the camera, not like me. But so not only what camera are you using, but how do you have that set up, George?
Well, I'm using the Logitech C910 camera, Cheryl. It's not the latest. I think there's a C920 out now. But I asked Alex one time, should I upgrade? And he said, don't change what you're doing. So I haven't. I've got the camera is mounted right here on a microphone stand at eye level right in front of me. And directly behind the camera, I've got a 52-inch television screen that rolls around on a tripod since this is my studio here. But it's right. Yeah, it's right behind the camera. So when I'm looking at myself on the screen here, I'm looking at the camera at the same time. And for lighting, I've got a couple of fluorescents, those screw-in compact fluorescents. The one on this side over here is just a 100-watt equivalent, and it's got a sheet in front of it to kind of diffuse it a little bit. And over on this side, it's got four of those bulbs in a soft box, which is just sort of like an umbrella that's reflective on the inside. And then there's a piece of scrim over the front of it that kind of diffuses the light. And that's it.
Terrific. Good to know the tricks of George. Only you can do it that way, George, and I'm certainly envious of that big screen and that setup you have. How wonderful. Thank you for your answer. Okay, let's move on. I've got a question for you, Bob, here from K5JPS. Joe, it's basically an antenna question. He's asking about an 80-meter Wyndham, about the only contacts he can hear are off the ends of the antenna, not much to the side. So does he have something set up wrong? He's a new general, not always sure of what he's got going there, so he needed your direction, and he's got the north-south orientation going, and he's just made a couple of contacts to the east or west. So I'm going to bring it to you at this time, Bob. Go ahead.
I'm not a Wyndham guy. I'm a dipole guy because he can do a lot with the dipole. It takes less space. You don't have to use tuners and all that crap. And especially coaxial dipoles where they're broadband. But I have one up, and it's my omnidirectional antenna. I work people everywhere on it. You're maybe 3 dB down on the ends. I don't find very much difference on the ends of these things. Now, when I get serious, of course, we can get 15 or 20 off of the phased array. But go back and check program 63 and 65, please. If you haven't ever seen that, go look at it. That'll tell you what to do with an antenna. I don't know why everybody is not using that. I highly recommend people look at the dipoles. It's just, there's nothing like it. And everybody tries all these off-center things and all that. They're just RF generators. Dipoles, baby, especially coaxial, because you don't have to worry about band edges. It'll cover the whole band. And that's my story.
And you're sticking to it, aren't you? All right, Bob.
Darn one right. More question. Listen for me on the air. You'll find out.
Hey, you
out.
Know what? One other thing is, would you be the guy for a vertical antenna question, or is that not a dipole? Or is that a dipole?
The verticals. The verticals are very low. They give you a very low angle of radiation if you're going to do a lot of DX work, but you have to have a ton of radials to make one work. That's the only kicker of that. And I would hasten to tell you, if you're going after the DX work to get over into Europe, yeah. But it's a lot of work, and you got to really do some things to make the vertical work. But they're great once you get them all set up. But it's a little chore and takes a lot to make it happen.
Okay, here's the actual crux of the question. And you seem to be dialed in here on this. So KI6LSB, Tim, I like that call sign, lower sideband, Tim, cool. Anyhow, he says he has a vertical antennas. if putting up a pair of vertical antennas, excuse me, that are 180 degrees out of phase, which is something that you fully understand way better than I do, Bob. He says, how much gain can I expect? And is it really worth all the hard work? And your answer is?
It isn't so much gain. It's what you get in the rejection of it. And you can get a good 10 dB just about any time, sometimes up to 20 dB. Just depends on the atmosphere and so on. And by the way, it does not take a lot of room to do this. The phased array on 40 meters here is just 33 foot high and 33 foot wide, just so you know. It takes not a lot of room to do that, so you don't have to have acreage to do dipoles. Oh, check it out, and you'll see what I mean once you get into it.
Excellent, excellent. And two more microphone questions. One's a comment and one's a question for you, Bob. Tonight, Robert Bigelow had a comment, and I thought it was really worthwhile of bringing it up here. He said, Mr. Heil, I used a Heil microphone when I was working at our high school radio station. He says, cool. So I thought I'd bring that up. That was nice. And this one, we may have answered this before. Yeah, I thought that was nice. And he wanted to know, on the ICOM 7000, will an HM12 mic work, and which cable do I need? Bob?
You might have to try it because the gain's a little low. I'd use the ICM, but you can try the 12 because you're right at the break point with the 7000 and its mic preamp, but there's a cable for it, the with the modular connector on it. Give it a try, and I hope it'll work okay. I always use, for that particular radio, I always use the ICM because it's got a lot of output and it's made specifically for ICOM. That's why it's named the ICM.
Gotcha. Great, great. Thank you, Bob. And there is one more last question from someone named Duper. You see him in there a lot in the chat room. He says, K9EID. What is that yellow unit you have there on the top shelf in the background? The yellow unit, Bob?
Oh, that's my Gonza communicator from the late 50s. And what you're seeing tonight is the amplifier part. It's a fabulous piece. We've covered it a couple of other times. But those are special made for the CD mark. And remember when the Civil Defense, they got a big signature on the side. Just great stuff. Even came with a canvas cover that you carried them around. It was the handy talkie of 1959. And they're just great. These work well. And that is the amplifier. It has a pair of 826s in it. And boost the little 7-watt out up to 100 watts. So it was a keepsake. It still works, and I had a lot of fun with them. I had some on 6 and some on 2. So Gonza Communicator, check them out. They were fun things.
Sounds pretty cool. All right, thank you, Bob. And another one for Gordo. I have to tap into your analytical probability and statistic type point of view there, Gordo. So put on your math hat for me and jump in. NT9E Dave, he says, and I don't know if you'll really have a solid answer. We can go out to the next time for this. But he says, I wonder how many Ham Nation viewers don't get on chat. Do you think there's a way to figure that out, Gordo? Is there any way that that can be tallied or figured out in any way? What do you think?
Well, we'll need to check with Brian, our producer, and he could probably give us a much better answer. So we're going to pass that question over to Brian, and we'll try and get an answer in a couple of weeks. But tell your friends about Ham Nation. Just Google it, Ham Nation, and it'll come up. Back to you, Cheryl, and then we got to jump out of here.
Okay, very good, very good. And this one is just for an answer in the chat room. Directed to you, Dale Puckett. Someone wanted to know if you were related to Gary Puckett of the Union Gap. If you'd please answer that in our chat room tonight, that would be terrific. Thank you for all your questions, everyone, and interfacing with me tonight in the chat room. Always a joy. Come and join me on the After Show QSO tonight on 3847. I'll be there. And until the next time, I'm Cheryl Lassick, K9VIK. 73, y'all, and I'll see you right here on Ham Nation.
Bye-bye, Cheryl.
All right. All right. Super duper. All the chat room, you're so important, and keep this thing going, and we hope that you can get some other answers in here before next week. We're not sure what's going to happen next week, because next week is not going to be live from our studios. It's going to be live that we recorded last Friday. And it's really something. Do not miss this show because it's a whole different side of what you've been seeing for a year and a half. And we were all live with about 400 people in the theater, and it was just the best. So be sure and watch next week because none of us will be here live. But there's going to be a really good program, if not the best one we ever did. So check it all out right here on Ham Nation next week. I just talked to Al on the big old ICOM 7278, so they're fired up there. Gordo, you got anything happening on 20 meters out there with Steve and the guys?
Well, actually, I'm tuned up to 7278, and then I may be dropping down to 20 meters. The band remains open in just a few minutes. Back to you, Bob.
Okay. What's the dewdrops and all that, George?
Okay, Bob. Yeah, the 20-meter net is on 14268. I saw that a moment ago, Gordo. I'm going to try all of them myself tonight and see if I can get a full hand there. Echolink is Star Dewdrop N-Star Conference Server. That's node number 355-800. And for you D-Star fans, there's a chance that we might have a D-Star net coming back. Stay tuned for more details on that. We'll let you know as soon as that all plays out. So 73 from Jackson, Mississippi. Enjoyed seeing everyone tonight. And we'll see you on Memorex next week.
All right. One thing that we want to tell everybody, please, we want you to do this. There's a survey that TWiT Network is running to let them know what you think about the various shows, and it will also tell them the participation. So if we don't get a lot of our friends to tell Leo you're watching, who knows? So please, it's twit.tv/survey. twit.tv/survey. Please go there, and there it comes up for you. Thanks, Brian. We need to let Leo know that we appreciate everything he's doing to give us his bandwidth, to give us the studio, and of course Brian and Alex and all of the people behind the scenes that you guys rarely see that keep it going. Thanks very much for all. We will see you next week with the live show from the Midwest ARRL convention. And we'll be back here again in 2 weeks from our studios. Until then, we'll check out on the air, have fun, and remember, ham radio's just the best. For now, 73. This is K9EID. Good stuff.